And we'll keep going in the, continuing on with the history of Israel here. Exodus 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now listen to what he's going to tell them. Remember, God is speaking to his servant Moses. And you remember what he said about Moses? With my servant Moses will I speak mouth to mouth. Moses got it straight from God, just like Paul did. Everybody ever think about that? The parallels that you got between Moses and Paul? It's pretty incredible. So he says, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came, and he called for the elders of the people, and he laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded. So he brought the word of God to the people. And all the people answered together, and they said, What? Verse 8.
All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.
Everything God said, we'll do.
We will do.
Remember, God said, If. Did you hear me put the emphasis on the if in verse 5? Did they enter into the agreement with a choice one way or the other? Sounds to me like they did. God said, If you will, I will. And they said, Yeah, God, we will. And the Lord said unto Moses, I want to add a verse here. Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord, so the covenant is made there. Turn with me over to the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to have to keep moving pretty quick. We're going to make that lunch. And I don't know if I'm into hiking or not, but if it was for lunch, I could probably make it 2 blocks, I bet you. Genesis 20. I'm going to read, let's see. Let's start with Genesis 20, verse 1. And God spake all the words, saying, all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. And if you'll notice in your text.
Is that Genesis?
Oh, I'm sorry. Exodus 20. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Exodus 20. Yeah, y'all keep me straight. See, that way I know you're looking. That was really a test. If I believe that raised your hand. I actually have Genesis 20 written in my notes here. So I'm you can tell I was getting a little groggy at that point. Yeah, Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, and you'll see in your text, you've got the numbered commandments out there to the left. Look at the first one in particular. Verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, how many Gentiles was he talking to here? First commandment. I am the Lord God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know, I ride down the road in my house, and I understand why they do it, but people take the Ten Commandments and they print them on these signs. Do they do that here?
Right outside the door.
They'll take those commandments and they'll print those commandments on these signs and they stick them up in their yard. And if that's what they want to do, then I don't have any control over that. But I can't help but wish as I ride by understood what they were doing when they do that. Because I'll wager that they are probably not of the nation of Israel to do that. And they, you know, they put them up in the, I know they're very good statutes to live by, and that if more people did them, you know, we would have a much better world, but that's not the plan that God's working out today. So it's kind of a bittersweet thing. I like to see scripture sticking up in the ground somewhere that where people can see it. But by the same token, I know in the reason that they're doing it is basically out of a misunderstanding. Or they haven't gotten deep enough in the scripture to understand where they really need to be. So if you want, you can read the rest of them. They go all the way down through verse 17, I believe, there. Let's, for the conclusion of my first study, which is already passed, let's go over to Deuteronomy 7. This is one of my favorite. I know we're skipping a lot of history here, and I'm having to do this to keep it going. But this I can't skip, because 1 through 15 of Deuteronomy 7 pretty much summarizes it in a nutshell here, what God's doing with Israel at this time. So read with me. He says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. Remember the land, the promise of the land back in Genesis? Well, here we go. And have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Did God have a purpose in all this? He did. He certainly did. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son. Here's the point.
Amen.
Everybody see the point? They will turn away thy son from following me. He knew that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Now listen to this especially. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. Doesn't matter who they are, you're the pick. You're it. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He tells them why he did it, and he tells them that they're chosen, that they're a peculiar people, and he loves them, and he's going to keep the oath. Remember the oath? He never forgets the oath. He always remembers it as it goes down through history. He never forgets it. He says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Remember the covenant we read a while ago? There was much more after that. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Look at them. It's incredible what they were given, what they had to go by. He said, wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. Remember what he told Abraham? There it is again. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above everybody else.
All.
Boy, it sounds like discrimination, doesn't it, Artis?
Sure does.
Has he got the right to do that? Who is this God that thinks he can do that?
He's God.
Amen. Everybody understand the sovereignty of God?
Yes.
That if he chooses to do this, it's yea and amen, and there's no discussion. That's the way he wanted it in this day. He said, you shall be blessed above all people, verse 14. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Wow. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now it's becoming clear why he did the things to Egypt that he did, didn't he? Because the nation of Israel, they're doing what? They're standing there watching all this going. He could do that to us, couldn't he? No, it doesn't stop him from doing it to anybody else he wanted to. But he did it to Egypt to show Israel what I'm not going to do. I mean, it's amazing. The parallels and the things that he does, the things that we see. So, with that, we'll conclude the first study. We'll keep moving right on into the next one. I thought that was a good place to stop. Because if ever in Scripture, it's one of my favorite ones, if ever there is in Scripture a place where there's a summary of what God was doing with Israel, it's right there in Deuteronomy 7. It's almost all there. So, let's keep going. What I want to do now, what have I got? 10:45, you see? 11:45, we've got to go for lunch.
We have to be there, so we might leave here about 11:40.
Okay, so I got about, we'll probably got time. But I got to go from David to Acts 28 in that amount of time. So hang on. Turn with me to the 89th Psalm. Everybody's wondering, well, now why is he going to Psalm? Everybody remembers, where did we stop in our narrowing down? We stopped with a tribe, didn't we? The tribe of Judah. Now where are we going to go next? 89th Psalm. If I can find it. Psalms 89, I'm going to read 19 through 27. This is David speaking. Then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Everybody remember the story in Samuel? I love that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Is this all the sons you got? He's a noggin. Got one here watching the sheep. Get him in here. He's the one I want to see.
That's right.
And when they brought him in, remember they anointed David,
oh, yes,
the one.
Oh, yes.
He said, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. Sound familiar? Still sounds like it's carrying on, doesn't it? But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. And he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Turn with me backwards now in Psalms. I wanted to start with that one because I think that's pretty much David's testimony of the relationship that he had with the Creator, with the God of Abraham, with the God of we'll read the whole thing. I think it's telling. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. David speaking again. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and lo, to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my life. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, he says, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, speaking of Christ. Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the final one over a couple of pages, or over one page to chapter 17, verse 15. Very telling one that David wrote. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Even David knew of the future resurrection of God, didn't he? Yeah. Let's keep moving. Now, we're going to go over to the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew 1. I know I'm skipping tons and tons and tons of history and prophets, but for time's sake and the point that I want to make, it's a necessary evil. So let's do it. Matthew 1, I'm going to try to read 1 through 17. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Why would we go to the trouble to do this?
To show the lineage.
Show the lineage. That's why it's here. That's why it's here in Matthew. This is not here for filler. It's here because it's important. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Verse 2, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Verse 3, and Judas begat Phares, Zerah of Thamar. Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Booz of Rachab. Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah. Abiah begat Asa. Asa begat Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Joram begat Ozias. Ozias begat Jotham. Jotham begat Achaz. Achaz begat Ezekiel. Ezekiel begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Amon. Amon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. Salathiel begat Zorobabel. Zorobabel begat Abiud. And Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Pharisee.
We got there, didn't we? So you have the entire connection all the way down. So all the generations, from Abraham to David, are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now it just happens to be 14 numbers. This works out that way. The numbers don't really mean anything. It just sort of happens that way. And I'm being facetious. Everybody in this room knows the importance of numbers in Scripture. Okay? So now we have the royal lineage. We have the birth of the seed of the woman. You remember the promise in Genesis 3? We went down to a man of whom came a nation. We went from a nation to a tribe. We went from a tribe to a family, the family of David. And we went from the family of David to one man. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, please hear that. Okay? The Redeemer of mankind was a man. Now, everybody knows the story. Because we have the lineage there, does that mean Joseph was the blood father? He wasn't. By law, he was. But by truth, Christ was of that Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have man's perfect God, and we have God's perfect man, the only one who can do the work of the redemption. Okay? Turn with me on over. I'm going to read Matthew 18 through 21 right quick so you'll know that. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is what? It's of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You're going to say who?
His people.
Did I hear that right as we went
through? His people.
So she didn't. The angel didn't tell Joseph that this Christ that was going to come was going to save everybody.
His people.
Sounded like to me, didn't it? He's going to, and he will save his people. That's right. He will save his people from their sins. Now, note that in Christ, we have the culmination. Listen to this. We had seed promised. We had all these things, all this history that happened until we got down to this point. And now we have the seed given. And what I want you to understand and what I want you to think about as we approach the conclusion of the next one is that in Christ we have the culmination of the purpose of the nation of Israel. Also note that even though Joseph was not the father, both his and Mary's lineage connect to David. Everybody know that? There's a beautiful appendix in the book, if you haven't ever seen that, how it's connected. You can connect Joseph up to Solomon, and you can connect Mary through Nathan. They were both sons of David. They were both lines. Isn't it something? When you look at it, it blows your mind. It blows you away. Okay. Let's start with Christ's ministry on earth to his own. We already know that he's there to his own during the day that he walked on the earth. And that's pretty easy to prove. Me. I've never had a problem with this one. Turn with me, if you would, to John 1. We'll start in John. I'm going to hurry through. I've got a lot to do and very, very little time to do it. John 1. The text is 1 through 11. But the verse I really want you to see for time's sake will. We'll let a lot of it go. Let's read 11. He came, well, let's start at 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own what?
Received him
his
not.
His own received him not. Turn with me to Matthew, the 10th chapter, for just a minute. Matthew 10. I'm going to read 1 through 7.
Matthew 10 or John?
No, Matthew 10 this time. I did get this one right. Matthew 10, 1 through 7. I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I'm going to make a point. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now listen to this. This applies to all four Gospels. Just because it's written in Matthew doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to all four Gospels. They all go together and they all make one story. So what you read in one applies to another, even though you've got different camera angles of the life of the one man. Does everybody understand that? These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep
house of Israel.
Seems to agree with what the angel told Joseph was going to happen, doesn't it? See, that's what happens. When you let the scripture do it, it ends up in agreement. When we try to mess with it, that's when we get in trouble. When we don't understand it as it's written and leave it as it's written, that's when we typically get in trouble. And to further prove that, turn over to Matthew 15. I'm just pulling some examples of some things that happened. And what I want you to, the main thing to remember is, one gospel, the truth that's in one gospel is not any heavier than the truth in another gospel. So if I read this in Matthew, it applies to the other three, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody understand that? That's a, Christ didn't have one way of dealing with Israel in Matthew and have another way of dealing with Israel in Luke. It didn't work that way because they're all accounts of the one life of the man. Okay. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of where?
Canaan.
Is she of the house of Israel?
No.
Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Why did she say that? At least she knew where he came from. Now, does she have any claim to that land?
No right whatsoever.
I don't believe she did. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her. That's hard to take it. I mean, you think about that. You ever really think about that? That's a little hard to take. He didn't. And that's her word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's pestering us. Won't let us alone. And he answered and said, I am not sent. Here it is again. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't say that any plainer than he said it. But yet, I hear preachers all the time stand in the pulpits and they preach truth for today right out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not that there's not truth there, but it's truth for our understanding and how it relates to our hope for today. That's not truth for today. It's truth as history, which is why I basically teaching you guys today is history. I probably haven't told anybody in here anything they don't already know. Okay? I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, at least now she's got his attention. He's talking to her. He answered her and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to do what?
Cast it to dogs.
Ooh. Still a little hard to take it. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall. She's not giving up. The dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith. He said, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Until she rightly divided the way she spoke to the Lord, she didn't get any attention. Once she did, she got the blessing. Everybody understand that? Okay, let's keep moving. I wish I could take a lot more time with this, but we got to keep moving. Holler at me now when it's ready. When we need to go. His own people to keep. kingdom, they slew the king. And I wish I had time to get into this in the scripture, but I don't. But God raised him from the dead.
Oh, yes.
And I have to be careful here. I'll break loose preaching. God raised him from the dead. Turn to Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Because that's where the power is. If he had died and stayed in the grave, we're wasting our time. We may as well get out here and do something else. We're totally wasting our time if he stayed in the grave. Matthew 28, I'm going to read 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They were worthless, and I probably would be too, sitting there. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Amen?
Amen.
He ain't here.
No.
For he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And I don't care how many bones they say they dig up.
That's right.
It doesn't matter to me. I got the book right here. That ain't his bones, folks. And they can line up lawyers and archaeologists and whoever else they want to get, and it doesn't make any difference to run. Because right here is the truth. Come see the place where the Lord laid. He says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. So here we have the resurrection of our Lord as recorded in Matthew. Now, and he ascended up to heaven. Go over to Acts 1. And we're going to have to stop here pretty quick. We'll read Acts 1 here and we'll stop because I got in almost everything I wanted. I made it to Acts anyway. Acts chapter 1. Let's see. When he had, they started at 9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, remember they're all there. All the disciples are there. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And with that, it is time to go to lunch, and we will stop here, and I will pick back up with the conclusion tomorrow.
Would you pray for the food since we're here?
I certainly will. Help out with it. Father, again, we come before you, and we thank you for this time. Father, these people, and for that which we're about to receive, Father, we ask that you would bless the food in our bodies. And Father, continue to bless our bodies to thy service. Father, thank you for the spirit that we feel here, the love that we feel from these people. I ask that you would continue to bless our bodies as we do that.